available to us.
Yes.
Item 14 from the Director of Risk Management, Department of Administrative Services, requesting authorization to execute a contractual agreement in the amount of $96,798 per year with FMLA Source for Family Medical Leave Act and Wisconsin Family Medical Leave Act Leave Administrative Services for a three-year term effective January 1, 2016 through December 31, 2018 with a total agreement value of $290,394. This item was also referred to the Committee on Judiciary Safety and General Services for informational purposes only per Section 59.52 Sub 31 Sub D Wisconsin Statutes. On September 10th, 2015, that committee took no action.
Thank you. Manager Project, would you give us a quick summary, please?
Yes, good afternoon, Chairman, Supervisors. Thank you so much for allowing me to present today. I'm Amy Pahacek, the Director of Risk Management. With me, I have Matt Hanchek, who is the Director of Employee Benefits and Metrics here at the county. And the item we have for your consideration is a three-year contract award approval for FMLA Source for the third-party administration of Family Medical Leave Act here at the county. Just by way of brief background, Family Medical Leave is a federal statute passed in the early 1990s. It allows for eligible employees to take up to 12 weeks of job-protected leave for either their own serious health condition or the serious health condition of a family member. There are other contingencies, such as birth or adoption of a child, military leaves, and so forth. Wisconsin has its own version of the law, the state version, which is very similar to the federal version. It is a little less stringent on the eligible employee qualifications, but many of the provisions very closely mirror those in the federal statute. So here in Milwaukee County, we have some pretty high usage rates on FMLA. You'll see our two-year averages were 1,500 leaves applied for by employees here at the county. We are averaging approximately one in four employees who are taking a medical leave annually. When we compare ourselves to our peer groups in Lake County, Illinois, and Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, which are two very similar counties in size, scope, and exposure, they are averaging leave usage rates of 1 in 10 and 1 in 16, respectively. So we are either 2.5 times or 4 times our comparable peers, if you look at it that way. So part of the reason that I've got this initiative before you today, just to give you some background, we have been self-administering Family Medical Leave Acts here since the 90s, since the law was passed. We currently have two internal leave administrators who handle those leaves. They are tracked manually, which when you're looking at the volume of leaves that we are currently talking about, that is a substantial undertaking. We don't have any technology or automation to support this function here at the county either, so we are mailing out forms and expecting employees to fax them back. We have two administrators that are not medically trained and not legally trained in this particular act, so that does put us a little bit behind with regard to best practices approaches to handling this volume of leaves. So just to give you an idea of how Family Medical Leave Act impacts us at Milwaukee County, in 2013, we spent approximately $2.5 million in paid leaves for our employees. In 2014, it was slightly over $3 million. And this does not account for the associated overtime costs that could also be, you know, attributed to having a substantial amount of our workforce out on a leave. With respect to our hard costs, we are currently paying over $158,000 in just salary and benefits for the two positions. We are tracking about $6,500 annually in just postage alone, which is those forms that we're mailing out. And as you can imagine, given all the reasons that I've already kind of talked about so far, our current model of administration for leaves has caused the county a substantial amount of problems. When we look at 2010 through the present, we've had 32 FMLA-related lawsuits. To date, those have cost us $344,000. Several of those cases remain open, so that number could continue to go up. But perhaps even more concerning is what happened last year. This was actually on my second day on the job. The Department of Labor investigator initiated an investigation into the way that Milwaukee County is currently administering our leaves based on a series of complaints that were made to the federal government. There were approximately 10 complaints. About 6 to 7 were deemed to be founded complaints, meaning that we were in violation of the law. As a result of that investigation, the county had to enter into a compliance agreement with the federal government, basically saying that they're watching us and they're watching us very closely with regard to this function. The compliance agreement was provided to you guys as Exhibit A, but I just wanted to quote, this basically summarizes what the concerns of the federal government, the Department of Labor had, which is that Milwaukee County has failed to comply with the provisions of the Family Medical Leave Act due to inherent systemic violations which the DOL believes have been caused by the current manner in which Milwaukee County administers leaves. So obviously, this was something that needed to be worked on immediately after my arrival here. The DOL also cited several other issues with the way we were administering our leave. As pointed out here, our inability to meet regulatory deadlines, improper leave denials, an inability to track actual data with respect to the leaves, and a pattern of non-responsiveness from the leave administrators to the employees. So what I did at that point, basically my second week here on the job, I formed a cross-functional work group, brought in a lot of stakeholders from around the county to kind of look at how we could change this administration and get us back up to compliance with the law and just do a better job at this. So we had representatives on that work group from Corporation Counsel, Comptroller, IMSD, HR, Risk. I also met with PRB, DC 48, which is now 32, a lot of employees and several department heads just to get all of our stakeholders input on this. So the work group came up with three possible alternatives. We looked at decentralization, technology, and then, of course, moving to a third party. For the reasons listed here, it was a unanimous vote from all of those representatives in the work group that we move this function to a TPA that will get us that technology, the automation, the analytics, the customer service that our employees really deserve. That will get us access to medical and legal experts. It turned out to be a very cost-efficient manner when I'll show you the numbers here in a minute, and it also eliminates the conflict of interest of having two internal employees have access to a substantial amount of medical information on their coworkers. So we released an RFP. We did that in April of 2015. Bids came back in May. There were 5 proposals received. The proposals were evaluated on technical ability and also separately on a cost metric. FMLA Source was the highest point earner on those metrics, and the panel did call in the top 3 highest point earners to do in-person interviews and also demonstrations of their systems. And after the conclusion of that process, FMLA Source remained the lead point earner. I'll go through these slides pretty quick, but I just wanted to give you a little bit more information about the vendor. FMLA Source is a division of CompSych. It's a national EAP provider. They are currently administering leave for 1.9 million employees in the state and 1,700 organizations. Included in that is a substantial amount of experience in our industry. You'll see here that they are currently administering leaves for Racine County, Eau Claire County, Sheboygan County, sorry, this is very small, Walworth County, Sauk County, and the city of Beloit. That's just in our state alone. There's many other organizations for which they're administering leaves. And I did just want to point out very quickly on this slide, they are currently administering leaves for Lake County, Illinois, which many people on the board are familiar with. That is where I previously was employed. This was not a contract that was in place at the time that I was at Lake County. This is a vendor that they acquired after I left. I have no relationship with this particular vendor. I just wanted to point that out. So FMLA Source is going to bring us a lot of the resources that we needed to be compliant with the law as cited by the Department of Labor. They're going to have that expertise, get us in compliance, ease of administration, and hopefully reduce the cost of that absenteeism, those multi-million dollars that you saw earlier. Just as you can see here, this is the landscape of compliance under the federal law. It changes frequently, and this is our, by having a resource like this, this is our ability to stay compliant with the law and not get in trouble with all of those lawsuits and other things. They're going to be doing all of the forms, all of the eligibility, all of the tracking for us. They come to the table with a lot of analytics, report running, technology that assists both the employees and the management. They look at leave from a holistic approach, again, so they want to assist our employees in returning back to work and also assist our managers in getting proper leaves in place. We're going to have a designated account manager and account rep, so we're going to have we're not going to be calling into this megalith type of corporation. We have our own team in place, which does include those medical experts and legal experts. We're going to have a lot of the analytics, like I mentioned earlier, that we previously have not had with respect to tracking these leaves. One of the things, too, that they're going to bring to the table is this 90 to 120-day implementation process where they are going to come in and actually train all of our managers. This is a very important function that we currently don't have the resources to do, but we are lacking in this training, and it's going to be a great addition to our management. And, of course, they're going to help us reduce our leaves. As you can see from the numbers that I provided, our leaves are substantially higher than our peers. They're going to do that through two methods. They're going to identify and challenge those potential abusers, but they're also going to leverage internal resources such as disease management programs and EAP programs to assist our employees in transitioning back to the workforce. So this slide is a little confusing, but they actually track all of their leaves by days and not amount of leaves. But they are trending better. This leave administration group is trending better than the national averages. And they are projecting that within a year of coming on board, they are going to be able to return the amount of hours worked back to our organization that would be the equivalent of approximately five positions just by reducing leaves through those abuses and by assisting employees with disease management and other programs. So when you look at this initiative as a whole, the benefits are that we expect are regulatory compliance, leave reduction, improved efficiencies, better customer service for our employees. It's a hard cost annual savings of $68,000 out the gate. The annual fee for the contract is just under $97,000. Which you see there is the cost. And one of the other things I did want to mention about this initiative is that if the board does approve moving forward with this, this contract will actually be managed in HR, which is why Matt Hanchak is here with me today. Family medical leave is the best practice approach is to manage that through your human resources department. That gives good overlap between ADA functions, civil service leaves, and they just have that internal bench strength to help monitor this contract. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions from the committee.
Supervisor Schmidt. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, very thorough, to say the least. Was there a kind of a parallel track? I remember talking maybe a year ago. I haven't been here that long, but it seems longer. I've done a lot of work. Workman's compensation, did we do the same kind of track? Did we go outside for that? I mean, we had the same much higher numbers than our peers, and you worked to change that, I recall. Is there any analogy or any, is this the same track? I don't remember if we were let people go and hire an outside source for that. Is that something you did internally? Can you just refresh my memory on that?
Yes, Chairman, Supervisors, you are correct. We had an anomaly as well with respect to our both frequency and severity measures on work comp. When I got here, we were trending significantly higher than our benchmark peers. That is a very similar situation where a state agency came in. If you recall, the state came in, and we had to undergo a compliance agreement with our inability to properly manage the workers' compensation. It was very similar. We didn't have the internal resources or technology to support that function. The board did approve moving forward with moving that to a third-party administration, and I'm happy to report that that happened just about a year ago. We are currently trending a 69% reduction in our workers' compensation claims. We are trending right now with three quarters in the year, a $1.5 million incurred as compared to prior years of $4 million incurred. So we have enjoyed extremely great success with that initiative. I'm hoping we would enjoy similar success with this initiative, but they are very analogous. Looking at how we are, kind of getting in trouble here with the federal government for our inability to properly do this function. And by moving it out, not only are we saving on the cost, but we expect to get all those resources that are going to help us properly manage this function.
Well, I guess my comment would be when you came in and to the administration, Mr. Krekel here, we just talked about expenditures and revenues. I mean, tremendous cost savings here in risk management. Now, I'm not a big fan This board isn't a big fan at all of outsourcing. You know, we'd like to keep things in-house, mm-hmm. save millions of dollars, but we had to hire people when we became self-assured. So Director Harris talked about that on numerous occasions. But, you know, when you can put a scenario forward and, you know, make a case like you did, I mean, I guess we have to be practical and look at situations where now a couple of people lose their jobs, there's a downside. Does this allow you then to, you know, really concentrate on what other areas can we hit at now after we've hit these, since Mr. Handshake has more responsibility here, and you outsource that. And, yeah, I like the savings. I like sometimes, though, if we can sometimes bite the bullet and hire some people and so we can continue to do some things inside. But, I mean, you made a very good case here for very thorough for having to go outside mm-hmm. and what it costs. I'm just wondering in the future if we can pick some of those people off from some of those other places and bring them in the county government and, you know, they can be the expert. We don't have the expertise now, obviously. Okay, so I think we have to do something, and your proven success in the other area bodes well for this. I mean, these are two areas where, I mean, there's terrific savings. And at the same time, we're making sure that the people who deserve workman's compensation, family leave is a big, it's a federal law, we have to follow that, of course, and part of this coming in, of course, is you have to, or else we're going to pay fines and stuff. So, you know, we certainly need to do this. I guess I just monitor and hope that, again, that to make sure that people who deserve it, we want everybody who deserves it to get these benefits without question. But obviously the point was that we just didn't have the workforce, didn't have the technology, didn't have the expertise to monitor these two major, major areas. Why it took us so long to do this, I'm not sure. But another area to look at for the future and other administrative areas where maybe we need to go. So I do compliment you, and Mr. Hanschick has been over the years. So I'm looking out for our best interest, being fair to everyone, but making sure we get the best bang for our buck here. And this was a really good presentation, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Supervisor Haas.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've thought about, can we not outsource this? Can we not have the third party perform this work and do a good job, have a quality return on our investment? I think it's similar to some of the what I've thought about with IMSD. We've had IMSD has looked at the possibility of building data centers, elaborate contraptions to hold all our computer information, all our data. And we don't do that. That's not our specialty as the government, the local government, or what have you. 3-4 years ago, I said, we've got to bring this all in-house. Let's do it all in-house. But we are already doing it in-house. And there's big problems with it that you've made abundantly clear. I thought about, too, we need the people. We need the people and staff. We need the infrastructure to do it all. We need expertise to do it all. I don't think we could for a reasonable price. I might have seen this, the wisdom of pursuing this 3.5-4 years ago as well. I've given it a harder fight. So I'm interested, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Supervisor Jersey.
Move adoption.
Supervisor Jersey moves to adopt. I have a card from Dennis Hughes. Dennis Hughes, Mr. Hughes, would you like to speak?
Thank you. Dennis Hughes, from a representative from Council 32 and AFSCME. I'll start by thanking Director Pahacik for including Council 32 in formulating a solution to the county's inexcusable problems with FMLA administration. It took a series of complaints over several years from AFSCME members that necessitated the Department of Labor to step in and require significant changes here. There are really two distinct problems that need to be addressed, FMLA administration, which is being dealt with here, and a variety of county policies that have created a need for employees to utilize FMLA at 2.5 to 4 times the rate of similar counties. The administrative problem will hopefully be relieved by a switch to a third-party administrator. The Department of Labor's their compliance agreement highlighted significant concerns that have not been addressed by the county's current process, so we're hoping that'll be relieved for our employees and members. This is unacceptable, considering the importance of FMLA to your employees. By making departments responsible for educating their employees about FMLA policies, employees have been given incorrect or incomplete information about their duties under FMLA, which has led to some employees to be disciplined for no fault of their own. The Sheriff's Department in particular has had a problem and has refused to provide basic FMLA training to their employees. I represent other employees outside of Milwaukee County whose employers utilize FMLA source, and those administrative problems haven't really existed. So hopefully this will work. More important than the administrative issues are the underlying problems that have forced employees to use FMLA at significantly higher rates than most counties. These problems won't be dealt with here, and a switch to FMLA source will not significantly reduce the high rate of usage. A document provided to the Judiciary Committee shows that three departments generate a majority of leave requests: the Sheriff's Department, the House of Corrections, and VHD. What these departments have in common is that they are all understaffed, their employees are all underpaid, and they are dangerous work environments. The Sheriff's Department currently has 114 vacant positions, or 16% of its total funded positions. The House of Corrections has 30 vacant positions, or 8%, and BHD has 138 vacant positions, or 16% of its funded positions. Setting aside the unique problems of BHD, the House of Corrections and Sheriff's Department have seen an enormous percentage of its workforce utilize FMLA. In 2014, of their 323 employees, the House of Corrections has had 302 FMLA requests, or 93% of its workforce. That's not 302 employees, that's requests generally, so some employees might have made multiple requests. Of 592 employees in the Sheriff's Department, there were 440 requests, or 74% of the workforce. As Supervisor Roma West has already stated, county employees are doing more work for less pay due to the 40% reduction in county employment over the last 14 years. The best example might be at the Milwaukee County Jail. Back in 2005, each post at the jail was manned by two sheriff's deputies. Those deputies were paid over $100,000 each in pay and benefits. Today, each post is manned by one correctional officer that's paid $50,000 in pay and benefits. The cost of that decrease in funding, $150,000 per post, is borne by the employees and the inmates. With only one officer per post, correctional officers are more quickly required to exert force to control inmates. Inmates are less likely to have a correctional officer available to address their concerns, and the overall relationship between the inmates and the correctional officers is severely harmed by this understaffing, which creates a more hostile and violent workplace for all involved. Because the jail and the House of Corrections have been so understaffed, employees are faced with unconscionable amounts of mandatory overtime over the last few years. In the face of discipline for refusing their mandated overtime, some employees have been forced to rely on FMLA to deal with health conditions that result from the increased stress of the job, and probably just to get a reasonable amount of time at home with their families. The jail is still extremely understaffed, but the levels of overtime at the House of Corrections have been a little bit more reasonable in recent months. So I expect you'll see a drop in FMLA usage in the House of Corrections for 2015. This problem is countywide in every department that doesn't properly compensate or show respect for its employees. These concerns need to be addressed in the budget, not just here, if this FMLA problem is to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Go to Mr. Hughes. Questions? Testimony? Thank you very much. We have a motion for adoption. By Supervisor Brzezinski, offered by Supervisor Jersey. Madam Coordinator, please call the roll.
On the motion that item 14 be recommended for adoption, Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Weddle.
Aye.
Moore Omokunde.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion prevails.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a few more items. I appreciate the committee's patience, because we could have taken a break, but it looks as if we're going to go home earlier than we would be otherwise. Item 25, is that the next one?
Item 25 from Corporation Counsel, submitting a passive review contract amendment in the amount of $20,000 from $150,000 to $170,000 with the law firm of Von Breezen and Roper SC to provide any follow-up work necessary to proceed with the Couture Development Plan at the Downtown Transit Center property. This item is passive review and informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Please.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, this is a continuation of the work that Mr. Markovitz, our outside counsel at the Von Briesen firm, began and successfully completed. As you recall, he was hired and directed to bring a declaratory action. He did that and prevailed in the circuit court, and as I'm sure you're aware and by now, Preserve Our Parks has decided not to appeal that, so the ruling of Judge Foley in the circuit court becomes final, and the ruling was that the legislature's statute drawing the line of lake bed versus non-lake bed down the middle of Lincoln Memorial Drive essentially was appropriate. So with that, the Couture project will proceed, plans are moving ahead. We expect the option to be exercised pretty soon. Mr. Barrett, the developer, has talked about beginning demolition this winter. There will be some work for the county to do in terms of documents and follow-up and so on, and we'd like Mr. Markovitz to stay involved in that. I'll point out that the $150,000 budget that we set for him on the litigation, he came in under budget. So.
What is the pleasure of the committee, Supervisor Jersey?
I'm willing to extend this contract as long as we are under the understanding that the negotiations are continuing with regard to exercising that option. I mean, now that the real estate laws have been changed, there could be a potential of just abandoning the prior deal and allowing the county executive to go forward with this without any board input. And that's a scenario I would not support, and would not support additional fees, et cetera, to accomplish such a task. So I would just like to hear that we are proceeding with good faith under the option that's been negotiated. It was contingent on getting this this resolved, which, by the way, was done with board leadership. It was a good result for the county, and I think the board, by and large, supports the Couture and the Transit Center development. But I just don't want to have sitting out there the possibility that the county executive could do this single-handedly. Now that the law's been changed with regard to sale of real estate. So I would just like to have an assurance that that's the path we're going down.
The path that's continuing is the one that's outlined in the option agreement. In fact, we have a meeting on Monday coming up, and that's the path everybody's pursuing.
Okay. And I do think it would be foolish to travel down a different path, because we still have federal issues with regard to the transit center money, et cetera, and I don't think we should even be entertaining having problems with that by removing local representation of the board in overseeing this Couture. So thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. You're welcome. Any other comments, questions? We have...
This would be passive review, Chairman.
If there's no action is taken, I should say, by the committee, then the measure will go into effect. I take it no action is required. Item 26, please.